Donald Trump says he will leave his businesses to prevent conflicts of interest as president. In a string of tweets this morning, the president-elect said, quote, I will be leaving my great business in total in order to fully focus on running the country in order to make America great again. But Trump has so many business interests around the world, separating Trump the business from Trump the president won't be easy. The Wall Street Journal's White House reporter Damian Poletta gave me an example of a potential conflict of interest.
Let's say his company wants to put a new building in, you know, London, and the British government decides to cut him some kind of sweetheart deal. Maybe they waive all the, you know, zoning rules, or they make the property tax-free, that sort of thing. I mean, that's obviously kind of a quid pro quo major conflict of interest. And so the question is, how does the U.S. government, how does the U.S. taxpayer ensure that there's not going to be this sort of arrangement, even if Donald Trump, you know, plays it completely by the book and is completely ethical and doesn't seek any of these sorts of arrangements. Maybe a foreign government thinks that they can curry favor with him by doing these sorts of things. Those are the sorts of pitfalls that the White House could run into. And the problem is that the Trump Organization has so many investments around the world. Their last 10 investments have been overseas. It could be difficult to keep track of, you know, which investors are involved, which investors are making kind of side promises to, you know, foreign governments, that sort of thing. So there's obviously a lot of things here that are complicated and almost unprecedented in U.S. history.
Before we say more about conflicts of interest, Donald Trump tweeted that he's going to remove himself from his businesses entirely. What good does that tweet do?
Well, so the devil is in the details, so to speak. I mean, it's one thing for him to remove himself completely from the operations of the business, right? Let's say he doesn't have any say anymore in where they put a building or what kind of lease they arrange, you know, the terms of the deal, the interest rate, that sort of thing. But it's a whole different thing if he removes himself from ownership of the company. If he divests himself completely, he has no financial stake anymore. And that's the big question that so far the Trump transition team has not answered. You know, will he have any financial stake? Will he sort of bequeath it all or gift it all to his kids, which will trigger all sorts of tax, you know, issues? But if he still has a financial stake and he still has his name on these buildings all over the world, there still could be the appearance of a conflict of interest as far as foreign governments and that sort of thing are concerned.
Legally and politically, if he would hand the reins, the business reins, to his kids, would that let him off the conflict of interest hook?
You know, it's a great question, and I think we really don't know the answer yet. I mean, I think it depends on what sort of role his kids have in the White House, how the kids are presenting the business to foreign investors or even foreign governments. You know, are they suggesting that it's somehow connected to their father? Are they, you know, acting like it's a completely separate entity? Those are the sorts of questions I think that need to be answered. And, you know, quite frankly, it could take a long time before we know. I mean, one of the challenges with an organization like the Trump Organization, it could just take one rogue employee who decides to kind of go off the reservation and create a lot of headaches. You know, maybe they're trying to bribe a foreign official, that sort of thing, even though, you know, the president like Trump has nothing to do with it, no knowledge of it. It's that sort of thing that could create an issue when you have that sort of power centralized, you know, both in the White House and then in a global company that has his name.
You say it could create an issue. Hanging over this whole thing is the question of, could Trump stay enmeshed in his businesses and the presidency in such a way that he could get himself impeached?
I mean, obviously, that's something that's ground that we haven't covered before. I mean, we've never had a president quite like Donald Trump in terms of having a business empire like this. It's one thing to have a wealthy president come into office who has investments in like the stock market mutual funds and who can turn it all over to some sort of trustee who manages it and they have no knowledge. But, you know, obviously Donald Trump can't easily liquidate his real estate empire overnight. And so if the family retains all these properties, it's just going to create a lot of these challenges. And you know, I think it's way too early to be thinking about anything in terms of impeachment. But I think they're going to have to take these legal issues seriously from the get-go in order to kind of head off any sort of challenge from Democrats or others about whether there's been any sort of impropriety. Because quite frankly, I mean, it's one thing for Donald Trump to have, you know, his kids on board and have his kids understand, his adult children, you know, what they can and can't do. But if you have all these investments overseas, you know, it's going to be very hard to control what sorts of things people are saying in Indonesia or in Turkey, you know, or in Eastern Europe when, you know, they might have day-to-day interaction with the Trump organization, but they could be making deals that somehow represent Donald Trump's interests.
Finally, Damian Poletto, Wall Street Journal. Can I just ask you, what is it like to be the White House reporter heading into the Donald Trump administration?
That's a great question. So I can tell you, let's see, 2 weeks ago, I spent 12 consecutive hours in the lobby of Trump Tower watching people come and go. I spent last weekend right outside the Mar-a-Lago Resort in West Palm Beach. You know, it's a different kind of experience, I think, than covering President Obama. This is a president coming into power who we could have kind of a North Pole in New York, a South Pole in Florida, and then kind of a Mid-Atlantic bureau in the White House. I mean, we're all trying to figure out how this is going to work. It's a whole new experience for all of us. Obviously, there is a sense of kind of Hollywood or showmanship that's conveyed. You know, we all saw the pictures last night when the dinner with Mitt Romney, and I think Donald Trump kind of thrives on that. Whether he can keep that up once he gets into the White House and kind of into the bureaucracy of the federal government, I think that remains to be seen. But right now, he's kind of continuing with what he's doing: early morning tweets, late night tweets, being provocative, kind of controlling the narrative, and then having everyone else kind of play catch up.
And he's not even president yet. Can we call you again, Damian?
Anytime.
Damian Poletto, Wall Street Journal's White House reporter. Thanks for this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So as we said, Donald Trump tweeted this morning that he will leave his businesses to avoid any conflict of interest. Trump didn't say how that's going to happen, but he has gotten a response from the relevant federal agency. The official Twitter account of the Office of Government Ethics responded to Trump's Twitter account, @RealDonaldTrump, bravo, ! Only way to resolve these conflicts of interest is to divest. Good call, ! I saw the Washington Post White House reporter remarked that seeing the normally staid bureaucratic Office of Government Ethics get involved in a Twitter fest and getting in on the ! The reporter said, something weird is going on. You're listening to The Record on KUOW Seattle.